There's a point to this story. A turkey breeder, he's always trying to breed, come up with the perfect turkey, a better turkey. In his family, everybody liked to have a turkey leg. But you know, the problem is a turkey's only got two legs. So he started trying to breed a turkey that would have more legs. And finally he did it. He was so excited. He developed this turkey with six legs. The only problem was he couldn't catch it. And that's kind of the way life is sometimes, full of frustration. Sometimes even when we succeed, life is more than we can handle. Especially when you're serving the Lord. Because let me tell you something. He asks us to do impossible things. I mean, if God hasn't ever asked you to do something that was beyond your human abilities, you need to listen a little more. Because he is a God of faith, and he wants us to be a people of faith. And if you can do it all by yourself and you don't need his help, well, something's wrong there. So he asks us to do things that on our end, they're impossible. But all things are possible with God. Amen? Yes. And one man said it this way. He said, the Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. Yeah. You know, it can just seem impossible to love your enemies. It can seem impossible for the church to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. But it's not impossible with God. We can do everything that he wants us to do. Is when we do life with the Lord, well, we can just do anything. I think there's a verse for that. Paul said it in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I always like to clarify, you know, people get real silly with the scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do anything that he wants you to do. It's not carte blanche that means I can just go do anything I want. That's not what it means. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And whatever he asks you to do, he'll give you the strength to be able to do it. I really believe that. You know, Jesus only did one miracle that was recorded in all four Gospels. Does anybody know what it was without Googling it? He fed the 5,000, that's right. Jesus feeding the 5,000 was recorded in all four Gospels, and I don't know why that it was the only one or why it was the one, except that maybe there are some truths there that we just, you know, sometimes you got to hear something four times, you know. It's just in there again and again for a reason. So maybe there's some principles there that we really need to get a hold of tonight. And tonight we're going to focus on Mark's version. I'll mention the others a little bit, but Mark's version of the feeding of the 5,000. And we'll just kind of pick up the story where the disciples have just returned from this time of ministry. And beginning in verse 30, of Mark chapter 6, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. See, the disciples were probably really excited about their time of ministry and healing the sick, casting out devils. I mean, had to be exciting. And they're talking to Jesus about it. But did you know that they needed rest just like we do? Verse 31, and he said to them, Heather, I don't think I put these in italics, but you have them on the screen. Thank you. I mess things up sometimes, y'all, but Jesus is bigger than me, so here we go. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. Well, that's good. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Have you been there? So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. Jesus says, it's time to take a break. They didn't even have time to eat. That's busy. So they go to a deserted place in a boat. Me and Carmen took a vacation in a boat, but it wasn't deserted at all. It was crowded. And somehow we still managed to get some rest, praise the Lord. But you know what? We all need a break, a rest from the hustle and bustle of life. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. They took a break sometimes. And we have to realize how important it is for us to recharge, to just get away from all of the stuff of life and have a few moments alone with Jesus. So I just want to say clearly that laziness is a sin. But some of us, we get so busy to run in here and there and never slowing down for a second somehow, and it's part of the culture that we live in, that we think that, you know, if we're going to be winners, if we're going to be successful, we just have to push, 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 push. I just want you to know that Jesus, working in and through your life, can accomplish more than all of your hustle and bustle. We need a little time with Jesus. That's part of why the Lord created the Sabbath. You know, Jesus says the Sabbath was not created for, or the man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Why was the Sabbath created for man? So that we could have a time of rest and a time alone, a time to draw near to God. That's what the Sabbath is all about. And the two go together, because I want to tell you, when you get alone with the Lord, when you spend time with God, that's a time of real rest. If you don't come apart and rest, you'll eventually come apart. There's an ancient legend about a man in Athens. He noticed the great philosopher Aesop playing marbles with some little boys. And he laughed at Aesop, just wasting his time with this silly activity. And so Aesop responded by picking up a bow, and he loosened its string and laid it on the ground. And he asked the man, he said, "Now you tell me what the significance of this is." The man didn't know. So he told him, he said, "If you keep the bow always bent, always under stress, eventually it's going to get weak. But if you let it rest, then when you need it, it's going to be good for what it's used for." Let me tell you something. If you always go, 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 always taut, you're not going to be strong when the need comes. And I just want to encourage you, we need that time to get alone with Jesus and recoup and recharge, recover. Amen. Have a rest time with the Lord. Back to our story here. Mark 6:33, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him." So here's the multitude. They see where he's going in the boat, and they all run ahead to meet him. They didn't get much rest time, did they? At least not yet. Maybe a little on the boat, I don't know. But they get there, and here's all of these people. And Jesus came out and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. He sees all of these people like sheep without a shepherd, lost sheep. Do you know, sheep don't do well without a shepherd. It's really strange the way, you know, the Lord created sheep to be that way, that they actually need a shepherd. Most other animals have some kind of way of surviving on their own, but sheep just don't do well at all. And it's like the Lord created sheep just to show us how much we need him, the good shepherd. Amen. I think it may be part of why the Lord chose at least two, if not more, but at least two that come to mind immediately, great leaders in the Bible, two of the greatest, in Moses and David. Both were shepherds before they were leaders of God's people. But Jesus looks at these people. He sees these people as lost. They need a shepherd. And so he taught them many things. He's telling them all kinds of things about life, how to live, how to do your family, what's right and what's wrong. And most of all, he's teaching them about God. But I just want you to understand this, that Jesus taught these people because he was moved with compassion for these people. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he's the one we all need. And we need to remember this. Everybody out there needs this Good Shepherd. Everybody out there. Listen, they may seem like they've got it all together. They are lost without the Good Shepherd. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into their surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." The disciples, they seem to be all concerned about these people, that they have something to eat. I don't think that's really what it was. I think they were probably thinking about themselves. Hey, I thought we were going to have a little alone time with Jesus, and now we've got all these thousands and thousands of people here. And he answered them and said to them, "You give them something to eat." Now, just to put this in perspective, this is 5,000 men. In Matthew's gospel, when he tells the story, he tells us that's beside women and children. So we're talking probably 15,000 to 20,000 people. You 12 guys, you give them something to eat. Come on, Lord. That's impossible. There's no way that we could possibly do that. And it was Andrew, John's gospel tells us it was Andrew that said, well, we'll get to that part in a minute. Anyway, he says here, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give them something to eat?" 200 denarii, just to realize how much money we're talking about here. A denarii was a day's wages. And he's talking about 200 days' wages. And I want to tell you, that would have been pretty conservative, actually, when you consider how many people were there. But here's the strange thing about that. You know, it was a whole lot of money, and the disciples were thinking, there's just no way that we can do that. But they were thinking money. Wow. Do we ever do that in this world today? Money. Money's the answer. Money's the answer. This is impossible. There's no way that we can do this. Did they forget who they were with? We shouldn't be too judgmental of them. We do the same thing. We forget who we're with. That's right. He's with us. Whatever he asks of us, whatever it is that we need to do, we need to remember who we're with. Because little becomes much in the hands of Jesus. The disciples are thinking about what they don't have. We don't have the food. We don't have the money for this. Jesus turns their focus, turns their attention instead to what they do have. Hear me now. So much of the time, we focus on what we don't have, especially in the face of needs, especially in the face of problems and issues and things going on in our world or in the lives of other people. What do we have? We don't have it. But instead, we need to focus on what we do have. So Jesus changes the focus to what they do have in verse 38. He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Now, in John's gospel, it tells us that that Andrew found a little boy with five loaves and two fish. And they took this little boy's Happy Meal, right? Kids' meal. I mean, here's 15 or 20,000 people, 5,000 men. None of them thought to bring a snack, but this kid did. So, I mean, I'll tell you something, though. This kid's going to have quite a story to tell. Verse 39, "Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds, and in fifties." Now, some people think this is really weird, but I just want to tell you, if you're going to feed 15,000 people, you better get organized. I mean, can you imagine? It just boggles the mind to think about what this catering event would have been. You're going to cater to 15 or 20,000 people, and there's 12 of you. How's this going to work? Jesus knows. Have them sit down in 50s and hundreds. We got to get organized. See, some people in the church world, they think that organization is a dirty word. Well, sometimes you got to get things organized to get ready for what God wants to do. In fact, it's just foolishness the way people act sometimes and not doing what they know to do or what they should do. See, we do our part. And he always does his part. He does the impossible. But sometimes we got to get organized first. There's things he wants us to do first. I mean, the Lord is the one, if it happens, the Lord is the one that anoints the preaching of his word so that it can impact hearts and lives and change lives. He's the one that does that. He's the only one that can do that. It can't be done through talent or any man-made thing. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. He does the miracle. But I got to tell you, God expects a man or woman to pray and to study to show himself or herself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. I'm quoting from Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, by the way. We need to be ready to be used by God. But he does the miracle part. There's things that we're supposed to do. I mean, he's our provider, but he expects us to work. He's our healer. But did you know sometimes there are things that you're supposed to do or not do? Y'all quiet. I mean, sometimes he told people, go wash in the pool. There's things that he expected people to do. But we know and we understand in our day and time, yeah, there's a part that we're supposed to do, the part we can do. He does that other part. Amen. See, even in a church service, the scripture says clearly everything is to be done decently and in order. Because God is not the author of confusion. And I just got to tell you that when we do things the way we're supposed to, God always does what he wants to do. Amen. That's when the miracle happens, is when everything is ready. Verse 41, "And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves." Don't miss that. He blessed it. "And broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. And as I said, Matthew's gospel adds that it was besides women and children. It's amazing. The scripture doesn't tell us how this all happened. We don't know exactly how the multiplication took place and how it all happened, but it just happened. And sometimes we don't understand it all, but God is able to bring it all together. When you put little in the hands of the master, I tell you, it turns into much. All they did was obey the Lord. Oh, if we just obey the Lord. Jesus performed the miracles. But it was the disciples who fed the people. Jesus worked through the disciples. That's still the way he works. Listen, the worlds were created by the word of his mouth. He absolutely could speak to the stones and turn them into bread. Satan knew it. He tried to get Jesus to do it for a selfish reason, to feed himself, and Jesus wouldn't do it. But he could have spoken to the stones to turn into bread. He could have had loaves of bread dropping down from heaven with pink parachutes letting them down to the earth. He could have done it however he wanted to, but he chose to use these 12 guys. And all through the scripture you see this, that God uses somebody. Somebody is involved in it. And we are co-laborers together with God. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it puts it this way, we are God's fellow workers. What an amazing thing to be a co-worker with God, to work with God in what he's doing in the world today. What a great joy to be a part of the Lord changing lives. That's us, church. That's us. You need to be encouraged. You need to be inspired by the word of the Lord tonight. Let it bring faith in your heart tonight that God wants to use you to impact, to change somebody else's life. And let me tell you something. If you think, see, you might think, well, you know, it's just old me and that ain't going to happen. You might not think much of yourself. That's okay. But you need to remember that your God, you see, he's big enough to use you in spite of you. So don't think too little of your God. Don't think that he can't use you. I don't know if it'll encourage anybody or not, but I can just tell you this, that over and over and over, thousands of times that I just acknowledge, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it, Lord. I just trust him that he's big enough to use me anyway. It's an old story. After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to rebuild a cathedral in London, and it had been severely damaged by bombing, and they did pretty good with most of it, but there was one statue that when they put it all back together, there weren't any hands. It was a statue of Jesus, and originally it was Jesus holding his hands out like this, and the inscription at the bottom said, "Come unto me." But when they rebuilt the statue and put it back together, the hands had just been obliterated. There was nothing left. And at first, they didn't know what to do. Should they just leave them off, or should they try to make some hands and, you know, remake them and put them on? But they finally decided that they were just going to leave the statue with no hands, but they changed the inscription to say, "He has no hands but ours." And you know, I know God can do anything He wants to do, however He wants to do it, but He has chosen to work through us. That's how He wants to work. You see, He feeds the world. And I'm not just talking about physical food now. I'm talking about the bread from heaven. But He uses His people to give them this bread from heaven, that which truly satisfies. Most of us, we know we don't have much to offer. But when you just put that little bit that you have, what did this little boy have? He had a little sack lunch. But he let Jesus use it. And I want to tell you that Jesus can use your little bit, whatever it is. I still remember when I was 18 years old, I didn't know much at all. I had committed my life to the Lord. I'd been filled with the Spirit, but I just didn't know much. And I had the opportunity to lead a young man, a younger teenager, in a sinner's prayer. And I believe that something happened in his heart and life, but I know something happened in mine, because it was in that moment. And you see, lots of preachers, they got their own story. Well, this is mine. It was in that moment that God put something in my heart that I knew that I could never be satisfied doing anything else. It was in that moment that I had a call to ministry for life. And I just want to tell you, though, you see, I'm not telling you that we all need a call to full-time ministry, but I'm just telling you that when God uses you and you get to be a part of what God is doing, oh, that is a wonderful thing, to know that God is using you. And see, just like that little boy had a sack lunch, there's something that you have. There's something that you can give. Something that you can put in the hands of Jesus. Is step out of your comfort zone and you decide that you're going to be a greeter, or you're going to work with the kids, or you're going to serve in some way, or maybe you're going to just be a bolder witness in the workplace. But whatever it might be, I'm just telling you that God can take that and use it to change a life. You're talking to a little five-year-old kid in the class and teaching them about Jesus and helping them learn a scripture, and somewhere along the way, they get born again, they get baptized, and before long, a whole family comes to the church. What'd we do? We just brought our little loaves and fish, little sack lunch, but He does the rest. You know, you give an offering, and a missionary in a foreign land starts a church in a village where they've never heard about Jesus, and it changes the whole village. And when you look at this story and you think about these disciples and how, you know, sometimes they seem to be so clueless. We don't have anything. How are we going to feed these people? I just want you to know, Jesus used that motley crew, He can use you. Little becomes much in the hands of Jesus. We can all learn some things from this little boy. First of all, God doesn't always use the likely. A lot of the time He uses the ones we least would expect. I mean, here's 12 disciples. They don't have anything. Here's 5,000 men. They don't have anything. Here's this little kid. A lad, John 6:9, a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Among so many. That's what Andrew said. You might not feel like what you have to offer matters. What difference does it make? Well, when you put it in the hands of Jesus, anything can happen. It doesn't matter how old we are, how talented we are, how influential, and it's not even about how much we have. So what's so important about this boy? First, he was there. So many in the body of Christ don't realize that needs go unmet because of their absence. And whether it's here at church or just being a witness and helping people out in the community, you see, that's how God gets his work done, is us being willing to serve, just being faithful. You know, when we here at the church, we have a lot of new people, by the way, and we need people to serve. But when we sit down and we talk about that and we talk about asking people to serve, you know what the biggest hindrance is? We can't count on them. Well, they might be here once or twice a month. We don't know. We can't count on them, and neither can the Lord. This young man, he was there that day. When he was needed, he was there, just saying. If we want to be used by God, we got to be available to God. Second, he brought something. Wasn't much, but it was something. I'm sure that it was, you know, just kind of, he just came. He wasn't expecting. I mean, he wasn't thinking, I'm taking my lunch today because they're going to need it. But you know what? We ought to be expecting. We ought to be expecting that God will use us. Every day, we ought to have that expectation. And we ought to be ready. You know, he had something to offer, even though he wasn't expecting what happened. He had something to offer. And we need to be ready to have something to offer. The Bible says we ought to be ready to have an answer for every man. You know, we need to be ready to share our testimony, talk to people about the Lord, be ready to be used of God. Next, he was willing. I don't think they robbed this little boy, do you? I mean, can you see the disciples? Hey, kid, give me that. I just don't think it went down like that. I think they asked him, you know, or whatever, and he willingly gave it up. We got to be willing. We got to be willing to put our talents, our abilities, whatever we have to offer in the hands of Jesus. They took up 12 baskets of food. 12 baskets of food. 12 disciples took up 12 baskets. Now some say, well, maybe each disciple got to have a basket. I don't know. Maybe that was their reward for their little part in all of this. I don't know. Maybe the little boy got some friends to help him carry 12 baskets of food home. But an amazing thing happened. 12 baskets were taken up. Jesus said, don't waste anything. We need to be good stewards of whatever God trusts us with. And I'm not talking just about money either. I'm talking about people. We need to be good stewards and take care of things the way it's supposed to be. One last thing about this little boy. His sack lunch was discovered. Hey, here's a kid with a sack lunch.
Was it ever a big deal? 15 or 20,000 people were fed with that sack lunch. And I just want to tell you that this is what needs to happen. Your sack lunch needs to be discovered. I'm just talking about whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you can do. I'm not talking about something you don't have, something you can't do, because God will take what you can do and He'll make it into something. Amen. He'll use it to reach somebody, to help somebody, to make a difference in somebody else's life. Little becomes much when you put it in the hands of Jesus. You see, he can do anything, but we got to be willing to do what we can do, to put it in the hands of Jesus and let Him use us. Whatever gifts, abilities, talents, time, money, other things, whatever you put in the hands of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you all to serve, to let God use you, to do what you can do. That's how we reach our generation. Little becomes much. A lot of time, people say, well, why don't we do this? Or why didn't that happen? Or why not this? And why, and why, and why? I can tell you. It's the story of four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There's an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody did. It ended up that job wasn't done, and somebody blamed everybody when actually nobody did anything. But it all works when we all just do what we can do. And I'm going to tell you that if the Lord can use me, if He can use a little boy with a sack lunch, He can use you. Whatever you have to offer, you put it in the hands of Jesus. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. We sang tonight, You're the Lord of my life. Just make it real and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever You want me to do. Here's what I can do, Lord. Here's what I have to offer. Make something of it. Stand with me. We're going to pray.